This week's parsha in parsha Shabbos Shabbos Shira. There's always two interesting shahs that at least two interesting shahs that come up every year throughout Shabbos Shira. The first one is, I'm sure by now you must have received with Tuesday at least, I don't know, 100,000 emails about you're supposed to say Parshas Haman on Tuesday. If I had a dollar for every email I got, I wouldn't need to say Parshas Haman. I'd be able to cash in just on all the emails I got. But it's interesting. People are very makbid on this Amir's Parshas Haman. The Satmar Rebbe used to say that you should say Parshas Haman until 9 o'clock. Then you go to work. That's the best skula. It's to go to work. Mm-hmm. You have to understand the Satmar Rebbe, Reb Yoel specifically, was very pro going to work. The Satmars were not believers of learning in Kail for many years. Satmar Rebbe was a very, very, even in Europe, forget in America, he's a very big proponent. You learn a little bit, you go to work. And then he used to mun his guys. In Europe and even in America, he used to have his Baal Batim come 4 a.m. every morning. You're going to go to work, so you got to learn from 4 to 7, then you go to work. But he was very tough with them. That's a famous mice, a guy once told me. A guy was going around collecting. And the guy said to him, you know what, instead of collecting, maybe I can give you a job. The guy says, you're going to give me a job? Do you have any idea how much real estate I own? So he said, why are you collecting? He said, the Satmar Rebbe used to send the biggest givirim out to collect, to make them humble. It's very humbling to go collecting. No one should ever have to know from it. It's extremely humbling. So next time a guy gives you a dollar, he looks chassidic, just be careful. Or make a business deal with him, whatever is easier for you. You know? Whatever, but not all these guys are nebuchs, that are in Olo Yitzlos, whatever. Some of these guys are a quite wealthy fellow because the Satmar Rebbe was a very big proponent that's extremely humbling to go collecting. But in any case, everyone is so makbid on saying Tfilas Haman on Tuesday, but everyone forgot the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch in Simon Aleph, Sif Hey, Shulchan Aruch writes Toiv Leimar every single day Parashas Haman. Shulchan Aruch says you should say Parashas Haman every single day. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the reason why you say Parashas Haman every day, and this is also beautiful, it's a must read inside, I urge everyone to read it inside. Mishnah Berurah says because a person has to remind themselves that just like the mon, everyone got exactly what they were supposed to get, Lepachas V'Leyeser, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's the way we have to look at our Parnasa. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we're going to get what we're supposed to get, and he writes, every Parnasa is all Ashkacha Pratis. And he says, no matter how much more Hishtadlis you're going to put in, it's not going to go anywhere. Now, obviously, we have to have a healthy amount of Hishtadlis, but says the Mishnah Berurah, at the end of the day, you can work 100 hours, it's not necessarily going to produce what you want it to produce, because everything is X-marked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he quotes Yerushalmi. He says, Yerushalmi says in Brachas, that if you say Brachas Haman every single day, you're guaranteed you'll never be Nismayit Mizanoisuf. You're guaranteed you'll never decrease your what you need to live. The problem is this Yerushalmi doesn't exist. It doesn't say anywhere where this Yerushalmi is. This is the second Yerushalmi that I found that the Acharonim say doesn't exist. The Aruch HaShulchan, it's funny, both places it's an Aruch HaShulchan. There's another Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah says, this we've spoken about in the past, the Ramah says that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you have a sleepy year. And he quotes Yerushalmi. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, no such Yerushalmi. Okay, so it's a question. So I have a fellow in my shul who's a Yerushalmi expert. He's a smart guy. So I put him on the case now to find these Yerushalmi. So he's going to hopefully get back to me. This room? Yeah, you could probably search in the computer, but the question is, I don't know if it's kefir to say this, but there are certain times, I think they were just Mamre Chazal, that no one knew where they went, so they said Yerushalmi.
Because nobody knows.
And no one really knew, and they figured it's Yerushalmi somewhere, it's Masaira. Right? It's probably there. And if it's not, it's a misprint. Okay. I don't know, that's probably kefir to say, but I don't know, but that's Yerushalmi. So Aruch HaShulch and Grad has a flip version. It's not like you said it's in Kachem or something. That we all know is not true, the Yerushalmi in Kachem. But this is Yerushalmi in Brachas. Yerushalmi in Brachas, we have Yerushalmi in Kachem. If you tell me you have Yerushalmi in Kachem, we know you're lying. That's what we mentioned, that some fellow, a really smart guy one day in Europe, decided to come. They never had Yerushalmi in Kachem. I shouldn't say they never had. The Rishonim had Yerushalmi in Kachem. And then for a long time, we couldn't find Yerushalmi in Kachem. And then one fellow decided to write a forged version of the Yerushalmi of Kachem. He brought it to the Mishnah Berurah. And Mishnah Berurah said, oh, take it. And based on that Yerushalmi, Mishnah Berurah switched over to starting to wear a Beinu Tam Tefillin. Because there's a Rai in Yerushalmi Menachis, he's supposed to wear a Beinu Tam Tefillin. And because of that, the Chafetz Chaim switched over. And they finally realized that this guy was a forgery. Had to catch his forgery. So this is only the guy, I think they say the Ragachava caught it. That in every Yerushalmi, there's a certain amount of times each Amir is quoted. And in this forged version, it didn't have it. So he duped the Chafetz Chaim. He duped a lot of Gedalim, but the Ragachava caught on. That was a fake. You can buy it now on Amazon if you want. The fake version of the Yerushalmi Kachem. I don't know why you'd want it, but it's a safer Shein Amuga. You're not allowed to keep it. It's the whole thing's a forgery. But that's what he says. So Aruch HaShulchan writes, Vaket. They quote in the name of the Arizal that the Arizal writes, you shouldn't say Parashas Haman. So it says Aruch HaShulchan, why shouldn't you say Parashas Haman? Because look how much complaining involved in the Man. It's all complaining, and we complained, and then we complained. We don't want to relive that chapter of our history. So therefore, writes the Aruch HaShulchan, it's probably better not to say Parashas Haman. But simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch says you say Parashas Haman every single day, not just only on the Tuesday, because Reb Mendel Miriminov said to say so. But that's okay. That's issue number one. The other issue that comes up is that the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Shabbos records a minug that took place already before his time. Now, the Magen Avraham lived mid to late 1600s. So we're talking about a minute that's at least 400 years old. They used to throw out chitin to the birds on Shabbos Shira. It doesn't say bread. If you look up the Magen Avraham, it says chitin. Throw out wheat. He used to throw out wheat to the birds on Shabbos Shira. And the Magen Avraham says, I have to abolish this minhag. Well, I don't have to abolish this minhag, because the Magen Avraham writes, there's halacha, based on a Gemara, you're not allowed to feed animals that are not yours. You're prohibited from feeding animals that are not yours. This is always my issue when people go to Tashlich. You ever watch what goes on at Tashlich? People bring these huge loaves of challah, and they throw it in. And you look at them, they're like, I just threw away all my averis. I said, maybe in Christianity it works that way, but it doesn't exactly work that way in Judaism. And secondly, you just say, you're not allowed to feed birds and fish and animals that are not. You can't feed a stray cat on Shabbos or Yom Tov. If it's your animal, you have a chiv. You have a chiv to feed it before you even eat. But if it's a stray animal, you're not allowed to. It's a gezeira de rabbanon because of tich. So therefore, says the Magen Avraham, how are you allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos Shiva? So he abolishes the minute. Comes along the Aruch HaShulchan. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan wasn't the Chassidish Rebbe. He was hardcore in the Vardik Litvisha. He says, no, I think it's a good minute. Why? So he says, because since the birds sung Shira at the Yamsuf, this is like our paying them back. They sung Shira, we're paying them back, and also Kar Satoiv, we're allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira. So the minhag today is that you put out the bread on Friday. That's the more common practice today. You put the bread out on Friday, but the Aruch HaShulchan, believe it or not, he thinks it's okay to put the bread out Shabbos morning. Ah, the Yitzhar feeding animals? No, here you're allowed to feed them. It's like you owe it to them. It's like Mizunay Secha Alecha. It's like those animals that you have to feed because Kar Satoiv, they sung Shira at the Yam. So if Shachta points out, it wasn't the same birds that sung Shira at the Yam that are in front of your house today, right? Let's be honest, and it's not the same birds. So my voice asked me, I thought all the birds fly to Florida. I said, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, there's always some who don't make it. They didn't get to Florida this year, so they're stuck here in New York, freezing, and they're stuck here, they eat the bread. Okay, that's the other Shiloh. There's another very big Shiloh in the Shira Sayyam. In the Shira Sayyam, so there's a Machloikish Mishra between the Ramban and the Evan Ezra. When does the Shira end? What's the end of the Shira? So if you look at any of the, if you ever read a Sefer Torah, you see a Sefer Torah, you'll see that the Kivosos Pari Berichpai also is in the Shira print. But there's Machlokes Ramban and Evan Ezra if that's really the end of the Shira. The Ramban was of the opinion that the Shira ends, I think, before that. Kivosos is just like a recap. It's not part of the Shira. And Evan Ezra held the other way. He held Kivosos as part of the Shira. So the problem is, if you hold that it's part of the Shira, then it has to be written in the Shira Ksaf. If you hold it's not part of it, then it's possible if it's written that way. So which means you're going to have a big problem, because most of the Sefer Torah have it, Kivosos as part of the Shira. If you hold like those Rishayim that Kivosos is not part of the Shira, then Sefer Torah is not possible. It's an interesting thing. But if you look in all the Sefer Torah, I don't know, the Sefer Torah I've spoken to, it's always, you'll see Kivosos Pari is written in the Shira, but it's a question if it really is. Then there's another question in the Shira. This is Nagei Halacha L'maisa. Every single morning we say, Tzalu Kaiferes B'mayim Adirim. So what does the words word mean? Tzalu Kaiferes, like lead, B'mayim Adirim. So the Mishtabura brings down from a Prima Gadim, the Prima Gadim writes, B'mayim Adirim, Adirim is not referring to the water. Adirim is referring to the Mitzrayim. So you're supposed to pause. Supposed to be Tzalu Kaiferes B'mayim Adirim. So if you look at the Noisei Kalim on the side of the page of the Chumash, you look at the Targum Yonason, you look at the Rashbam, they all learn Adirim means water. It's referring to the water. There's no period, right? But Mishnah Berurah quotes it in Siman Nun Aleph in Hilchos Pesach Zimri. He quotes for Dava Pashit. He's supposed to say B'mayim Adirim. No one, again, this is negated every morning. They forget the Baal Kaira. But the Mishnah Berurah paskens that way based on it. It's a little Prima Gadim in the back. But again, if you look at the Rishonim on the page on Chumash, they all assume Adirim is referring to the water. I think if you look in Art Scroll, I took a look yesterday, I think Art Scroll also thinks Adirim is referring to the water. So then there is no pause. If it's B'mayim Adirim, it goes straight. But if it's B'mayim, who was in the Mayim, the Adirim, the Mitzrayim, I think it's based on the Gemara Menachos. The Gemara Menachos says that Adirim is referencing to the Mitzrayim. So that's just some interesting shailas that come up. This week's parasha is Mamash Nesuga we've been learning for the last few weeks. Zek Keli Vanveh. We finally got some attention this week. Right? Many people in their drushes and their commentary spoke about our Gemara and Shabbos. You know, it made a big appearance. You know, most people never learn Shabbos Koflam and Gimel. It's tucked away somewhere in the back. But all of a sudden, Zek Keli Vanveh, Asei Luchav Nitzis, everyone talks about it. So we spoke about the idea of Machlokes and our Gemara between Abba Shaul and Tanakama. If Zek Keli Vanveh is Hidr Mitzvah, or Abba Shaul says it means to be a good person. So I heard B'Shem HaRosh Hashiva, B'Zalag Epsin said over that they're not arguing, which we'll see in the Rishonim. He said the two pshatim is one is beautifying the mitzvahs and one is beautifying yourself. The same way you have to have a beautiful object of a mitzvah, you have to be a beautiful person also. How do you become a beautiful person? By following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We all think, for you know, it's all about the object. I could be a horrible person, I could be a Rosh HaMerusha, but I have a beautiful asterisk. No, you also have to be a beautiful person. You had to become a beautiful person by copying the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu Rachum, Mahu Chanun. When you become a beautiful person, on the inside and the outside, and you take a beautiful object for the mitzvah, that's a beautiful experience. But if you yourself are not beautiful on the inside, you just take beautiful objects, that's not a full package of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be. The question is, we mentioned, and this is what we're learning, what we continue learning about it today, I hope, Heder Mitzvah is learned from the pasuk of Zekeli Van Veil. So the obvious question was, why was this the time for Klai Yisrael to proclaim, I want to do Heder Mitzvah? First of all, they barely had any mitzvahs. They had a few mitzvahs. But why was this now the time? What occurred at Kriyas Yamsa that motivated to say, you know what, we want to do Heder Mitzvah? But what was so special about this event? Secondly, what is Heder Mitzvah? I know we never really talked about it so much from Hashkaf. We talked a lot of alumnus about it. If I'm taking Yoitza with a level A esrig, so why do I have to take a higher level? It's good enough. Yoitza, good. Move on. If it's taking kosher, we're not arguing. Everyone holds a regular esrig as kosher, but I got to go out and spend extra money for hiddur. Why? So I believe the answer is because, you know, let's say, for example, you had to buy roses, or you wanted to buy roses for your wife. A birthday, anniversary. So you go into the florist, you tell him, listen, give me 12 roses that, like, two opinions hold are still considered roses. Find me, like, you know, the least nicest, but there's an opinion out there in the florist somewhere that will tell you this is called a rose. And then you bring it to your wife, and your wife is obviously not going to be very happy with you. But what do you mean? There's two opinions that hold that this is called roses. The answer is, we know that's a joke, because it doesn't look beautiful. It looks ugly. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, listen, I know I can get away with the basic level, but I want to do more. I want to go out of my comfort zone. I want to go beyond the call of duty. I want to go more than I need to. Why? Because you care about the person. That's why you do it. We all know when we have jobs to do for different areas of our life, so sometimes we do what we need to do. Like, for often at work, people say, I'll do what I need to do because that's my job. At home, I want to go further. It's my family. Or when it comes to matters of spirituality, I want to push myself further because I care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it comes to mundane things, I don't care so much. Okay? That's the way we are as human beings. Things we care about, we do better than things we don't care about. So when I do a Heder Mitzvah, the statement I make to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I care so much about you, I want to go beyond the call of duty. I can get away with this, but I want to show you why I love you. Now, why did the Bnei Yisrael get that feeling? Because what happens right before they sung the Shira? They saw great things. What did they see? They saw the Mitzrayim wash up on the side of the ocean. Says Rashi, what was the purpose of that? They said the Mitzrayim shouldn't think that maybe the Jews shouldn't think the Mitzrayim survived just like they did. So let's stop for a second and think about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take Klai Yisrael through the Yam Suf because that was the whole plan. Did he have to have the Mitzrayim wash up on the shore? No. But what happened if Hashem didn't? So Klai Yisrael would walk around the entire life always looking over their shoulder, always being nervous, always being worried, being anxious. We would need extra therapists and more medication in the world because people would just be very nervous. Are the Mitzrayim coming? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need to do that. Why did he do it? Because he merely loves us. He wants to make life a little bit more enjoyable. So when the Bnei Yisrael saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went beyond the call of duty to make our life better, that's at that moment we say, you know, we're going to do the same thing. If Hashem shows He loves us so much that He wants to make our life easier, we in return will then show Him that we want to go out of our comfort zone because we love Him. That's why it's precisely at that moment in history was where we introduced the concept of Heder Mitzvah. And it's interesting, throughout life we have these moments where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us things just to show how much He loves us. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that why do we make Birchas Ilonis? What is Tu B'Shvat? I should look on the gate in Yom Adim. It's funny. Tu B'Shvat is for the Litvisher, the extent of the Yom Tov is you don't say Tachnun. That's the whole Yom Tov of Tu B'Shvat. For the Chassidim, you daven for the Yesrig. It's a very big zach. You daven for the Yesrig. It's a whole halabaloo about it. You daven for Yesrig. A whole shayla. Let's say Tu B'Shvat falls on a Shabbos, so you daven for Yesrig on Shabbos. For us, Litvisher just means tomorrow davening is 3 minutes shorter. Okay, good. For many people, that's a big simcha. That's all we need.
It's a Monday too.
Yeah, that's why it's a big simcha. It's a Monday tomorrow. But in any case, what's the idea of fruit trees? So we make a special bracha on a fruit tree in the month of Nisan when it starts to blossom. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, what's the idea of a fruit tree? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, because we don't need fruit trees to exist. Contrary to what your parents told you as children, you don't need fruits to live. You need bread and water and oxygen and other things and carbs. You don't need fruit trees. So why did Hashem put fruit trees into the Bria? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, for us to enjoy them. It's like the modern day candy. You don't really need it. It's kishmak. Says Aruch HaShulchan, there are some things in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us just for mere pleasure. And the truth is, it's a mefurish of Taisus and brachas. Towards the beginning of the sixth parak, Taisus explains the bracha of Bayri Nefashis. We make the bracha every single day. Right? The part of the bracha is we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those things that we need to live, and those things that we don't need to live. If you think about it, many of the Bayri Nefashis we recite, you make a Bayri Nefashis on soda and then the candy and ice cream. We don't need these things to live. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them because they're fun and they're enjoyable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria those things just to make our life better. And that's a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. And therefore, Klal Yisrael saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going beyond his comfort zone for them. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided he's now going, the Bnei Yisrael said, you know, we're going to go hit the mitzvah. We're going to push ourselves. We're going to even spend extra money. Because we're going to go out of our comfort zone. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu went beyond his call of duty. We're going to do the same for us. And perhaps that's why specifically at this time in history is when Klal Yisrael got the mitzvah of Hiddur mitzvah. Okay, now we can talk about Hiddur mitzvah. Today's learning is the Rosh Hashanah Shleima. Very real. It's a Chiddush Gadol. It's not going to happen too often.
Right.
Today's share is our learning should be a Rosh Hashanah Shleima for Peril Yenta Bas Brenda. So let's continue on with our sugya of Hiddur mitzvah. So I don't know if many people heard a lot of Torah about Hiddur mitzvah because again this week's parsha had a shout out, so to say, to our sugya. But let's see our Gemara again inside. Hopefully we'll wrap up Hiddur mitzvah today. I shouldn't say that. We'll get somewhere in Hiddur mitzvah today. Okay, so we have our Gemara, which was quoted by many people in this week's parasha, because it says in the Torah, the Tanya, we lived in a Braisa. Zekeli vanveu, this is my Kosh Baruch, and I will beautify him, isnoi lefonu b'mitzvahs. Do mitzvahs beautifully. So what are the examples? I say lefonu of sukkah no, have a nice sukkah, lulav no, a nice lulav shofar no. Now, we didn't talk a lot about shofar no. I'll just make a ha'ara about shofar no. We mentioned in previous shurim, we spoke about this at length in the past, what exactly is the mitzvah of shofar? Is the mitzvah of shofar the maisa tkiyah, or the mitzvah of shofar is the shmias ha-shofar? What exactly is the mitzvah of shofar? If you understand the mitzvah of shofar is the shmias kol shofar, it's about hearing the shofar, so then it's a little hard to understand where's the hiddur mitzvah in the shofar itself. So if you tell me that this shofar produces a better sound, so that's 100%. That makes a lot of sense. If the mitzvah is to hear the sound and a nicer shofar means it produces a nicer sound, then I understand the Gemara. But if you understand the mitzvah is to hear a shofar and a nicer shofar merely just means it looks nicer, so it's a little bit questionable to understand how does that fit into the understanding. It's not a chefter shal mitzvah. It's merely like a hechsher mitzvah. The shofar itself is just a chetim to produce a koil. So why do I have to have a nice thing to produce a koil? It's like the moil's knife that cuts the mila, right? It's not the chefter shal mitzvah. Yeah, we're going to have the same problem with the koil and the ink. Yeah, we're going to talk about that more today. I'm just bringing this up.
How about as far as the Baal Tekeh? You know, what happens if one guy's more
Yer
Shemayim
Chach,
but the other guy can blow shofar much better? Which one would you go at?
So we're going to talk about today this Shaila. The Chayodim discusses the Shaila, which I want to get to today. How important do we put Hiddur mitzvah beyond all other pre-existing rules of how to do a mitzvah? Let's say, for example, we have a rule mitzvah by Yosim B'Shlucha. You should always do a mitzvah yourself. But let's say I want to write a Sefer Torah, but I'm a lousy writer. So either I outsource it to someone else who writes nicer, or I do it myself, and it's going to be a lousy job. Which is better? We'll talk about that. So you always have to figure out what goes up against what in the world of Hiddur mitzvah. So one of my rabbeim was saying a shir, and he pointed out that there was a shayla presented to Rabbi Eliashiv. They asked Rabbi Eliashiv, let's say you have two Sefer Torah in your shul. One of them is a nice ksav, one of them is a shvach ksav. Which Sefer Torah should you take out to read on Shabbos and on a weekday? Should you take out the nice ksav because of Zekeli Vanve? That was a shayla presented to Rabbi Eliashiv. Rabbi Eliashiv said, no, doesn't make a difference. Why? Said Rabbi Eliashiv, because the mitzvah is kriyas ha-Torah, the mitzvah is to read the Torah. The ksav is irrelevant. Ksav doesn't make a difference. The ksav is merely just how you get the words on the paper. The mitzvah to lane from the Torah is a mitzvah of kriyas ha-Torah. The ksav, how you wrote the letters, is just a chetimsa to produce the words.
I thought we said ksiv is sefer Torah.
So what's the kash on this var from Eliashiv? It's against the Gemara. Gemara says sefer Torah no. So Rabbi Eliashiv said no. The Gemara over here is talking about the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, not the mitzvah of limud Torah, but it's the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. When you're discussing writing a sefer Torah, then the mitzvah is the writing, then the mitzvah is the actual. Once it's done, it's already over. But if you're talking about the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah or Limud HaTorah, then it doesn't make a difference. And we had a diktus, we had a diktus from Rashi and Baba Kama. Rashi Baba Kama said Mefurish, the case of Sefer Torah no means you have two Sefer Torah that are already written, and the question is which one to buy. So we made this diktus already from Rashi Baba Kama. The Rashi was learning the Gemara was not discussing the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, but instead the Gemara was discussing the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. But okay, that's just something that's worth mentioning. But let's go continuing on our list. So we have Sukkah no, Lulav no, Shofar no, Tzitzis no, we spoke about. Sefer Torah no, which again, Sefer Torah no can mean either the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, or it means the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah through the Sefer Torah, which is probably not the right pshat. Because of Bo Lishmoy, this is where we need to get to in today's share. Because of Bo Lishmoy, and you have to write the Sefer Torah Lishmoy. What does Lishmoy mean? So we think it means Lishma. So it should have written with a hey, not a vav. There's a little problem over here. Second problem, the din of Lishma and Sefer Torah is not because of Hiddur mitzvah. The din of Lishma and Sefer Torah is learned from Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So how do you understand this Gemara? It sounds like from this Gemara that when the Sefer sits down and writes the Sefer Torah, he's thinking Lishem Kedusha Sefer Torah. That's because of Hiddur mitzvah? No, it's not. That's because it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. Sefer Torah needs to be written Lishma. We'll come back to.
Yeah, but if it isn't, it's still, but you have a kosher.
No, Pasha's not. Pasha's not. No. We'll talk about that.
Doesn't mean it's a hitter. I mean, no. Kosovo Lishmo is the Iker mitzvah, and then it goes on. Diona.
So stop it. He just got its way into the. You have to make a comma there. Maybe. Okay.
The other question is why by Sefer Torah is he listing all the ways you do and the other ones he just
lists. Because there's many other because by Sefer Torah there's many other parts to it. Right, we'll have to get to each part. Let's break it down. So you have Lishma, you have Dioino, nice ink. Okay, we understand nice ink. Kulmus, no, we mentioned last week from Rabbi Shawai, this needs a little more explanation. We'll talk about this today more. What's cool, what's a nice pen? A nice pen means the pen looks nice. That's like a nice looking shofar. Or kulmus, no, means it writes nicely. That's Mustam of the Pasha, right? It writes nicely. Balbler or Uma means the shofar is an expert. That makes sense. You obviously don't want an amateur. Let's say you have a choice between a rookie cipher or a veteran cipher. You go with the veteran cipher. Bekarcha b'shiroyim non. And you should wrap it with nice garments, with nice things. So we mentioned last week from the Biskarov, but if the mitzvah is the ksiva sefer Torah, wrapping it, the mitzvah is already over. How do you have a mitzvah after the mitzvah is over? So we mentioned that Biskarov answered, this is not as ksiva, this is as kavarat Torah. Kavarat Torah dictates that the Sefer Torah looks beautiful. That's Kavarat Torah, not the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah.
So, but why does he put in with him according to the
No, it's still because still a hidden mitzvah. Because still a hidden mitzvah. No, it is. It's a hidden mitzvah, the mitzvah of Kavarat Torah, not hidden mitzvah as the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Then we have Abishol Oimer Ve'anveyu Havi Doimeloi. Abishol says Anveyu is a combination of the word Anivahu. It means you should be like me. Mahu Chanun Verachum, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu's compassionate and merciful. Af Ata Rachum Chanun. Now we'll see B'li Neder hopefully later today, or if not next week. Can you hold of both of these things?
Yeah.
Can you hold? Do you have to disagree?
No, you can hold both. You said it in the
And I said it in the beginning. I wanted to say everyone's listening. Okay, good. We mentioned at the beginning, I'll be Jewish, you could hold the both. We'll see that there might be a whole shtickle term in a Rambam to whether or not halacha l'maisa we hold the both. But Pashtus, you read the Gemara, does Abba Shaul argue on the concept of Hidden Mitzvah? Or Abba Shaul is merely saying that this is not where Hidden Mitzvah is derived from, but I agree that there's something called Hidden Mitzvah. The Chayri's arguing on the Makar, and that's Mefurish and Minishayim, and we'll come back to it. Okay.
What is the shaykes between Chanum Rachum and the Keli Vanvehu?
No, because he reads the word Vanvehu, that word doesn't mean beautify. That word is really a combination of the word Anivahu. And it means I and him. I mean, I am supposed to mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're supposed to be compassionate and caring. And now there's another drasha. So one pshat is he argues. He holds us not pshat on the pasuk. It's not referring to Hidden Mitzvah. The other pshat is he agrees. He just learned something else. Now we have another pasuk for this. Valachta b'drachav. Right? That's another gerar. So we have to see if you hold of both these drashas and neither of these drashas, we'll come back to it. Now, the list of the Gemara, we mentioned again last week from the Briskerov and from Reb Chaim that Hidda Mitzvah sometimes is part and parcel of the Mitzvah. Hidda Mitzvah sometimes is a David study of the Mitzvah. We mentioned such a Chakir. Now, there's two Gemaras in Shas that we need to talk about today about how they work with Hidda Mitzvah. For example, the opening mission in the third parak of Sukkah, which is one of those parakim one day we really should learn here. It's one of those Geshmaka parakim we should really learn one day, but and we'll get there. Lulav HaGozel V'Hayovish Pas. Opening Mishnah, everyone knows you're not allowed to take promise. We never get past Mitzvah B'Aveira. We sit there forever. We never get past it. But okay, Lulav HaGozel V'Hayovish. Mishnah says you're not allowed to take a stolen lulav, you're not allowed to use a dried out lulav. Pasul. Pasul means even B'Dievet. Why can't I use a lulav gozel? So Rashi says, Pasul, Lakachtam Lachem, Tziv Mishalachem. You gotta own it. It says in the Torah, Lakachtam Lachem, it's gotta be yours. Fine. Yavesh. So Rashi is saying that the reason why a lulav hayovesh is possible because it's not hidden mitzvah. That's Yushalmi. That's Yushalmi. I thought it was Yushalmi.
I never read Yushalmi.
I never either, but I know this is a famous Yushalmi.
I don't think it exists. Yeah, I was going to say, it's only on Amazon.
I thought the Gemara ends up. Taisus has a cash on Rashi, so well, let's see. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that. That's possible cause of Hidr Mitzvah. So what's the obvious kasha? Hidr Mitzvah passels a mitzvah? Who would ever think like that? You think about Hidr Mitzvah. Hidr Mitzvah is beautiful, make it better, extra credit, out of here to here. But that something is going to be possible, unacceptable because of Hidr Mitzvah?
It's a local dental.
So therefore, says the sefer called Teiras Rashi Yeshivas. Very nice sefer. So they quote a shtickle from Reb Chaim. Says Reb Chaim, what do you see from this Gemara? So Reb Chaim, number four. The name of that mitzvah from the Atzmoy. If Hidden Mitzvah is a mitzvah study, a separate din, you should do mitzvahs, A, and then do mitzvahs nice. Says Reb Chaim, lo shaykh lo yimashim ha'akev and nifsal deze. How could it be that Hidden Mitzvah can passel the esrik? Or the lulav. Says Reb Chaim, u'bal korchach deze chelek miguf ha'mitzvah. Elamai says Reb Chaim, what do you see from this Gemara? That when it at least comes to lulav, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah, Hidden Mitzvah. Shekein tsurasoi behidr. The structure of the mitzvah is not just take a lulav, it's to take a lulav that is mohudr. V'oz yesh makom loyma de belulav yesh bezeh gamikuf. So maybe you can argue that if this lulav is lacking hider, it's not just you're lacking the extra mile, you're partially lacking the requirements for the lulav. Already has such a kasha on Rashi. How does Rashi know that this can possibly be the evid? We spoke about that last week. The igud. At least Rashi in Sukkah seems to hold that va'anveyu is a chelik of the mitzvah. Therefore, since part of the mitzvah is do it and do it nicely, if you didn't do it nicely, you didn't do it at all. At least when it comes to lulav, the anveyu is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Reb Chaim told us last week that that's true by mila. By mila, it's like that. That if you don't do the mitzvah, that the mitzvah of hiddur by mila is not a dovet study. It's not do a mila and do a nice mila. It's do a mila nicely, which is why Reb Chaim held you allowed to violate the Shabbos.
That's the definition of the mitzvah. That's how you.
Yeah, right. But
lulav,
that's right. But Reb Chaim's point over here is it's not necessarily going to be like that by all mitzvahs. No one's going to say the definition of shofar is a beautiful shofar. The definition of shofar is whatever the rules of Shulchan Aruch are. And then there's another. Reb Chaim was the one who introduced us to this idea of splitting them.
Yeah, but how do you look back and forth?
Reb Chaim split the list in half.
When do you know which one?
You got to sit down and break your head and try to figure out which one's which. According to Reb Chaim, it's not across the rule. According to Reb Chaim, the way he coined it, it was two dinim. There's two types of hiddur, and you got to figure out which one drops by which. So we mentioned last time, by mila, Reb Chaim had a strong raya that has to be part and parcel. Now Reb Chaim is saying, we mentioned last week by Agudas Halulov, it was also like that, based on the Ramah and the Magen Avram. Now Reb Chaim is giving us another proof. From the fact that Rashi and Sukkah renders a lulav that's Yovesh puzzle, because it's not hiddur mitzvah, says Reb Chaim, the only way to explain that is if it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. That's Reb Chaim's mahal.
Rashi doesn't say it's hiddur, he just says maybe it's not even...
No. Rashi says it's possible. Possible is unacceptable.
Because it doesn't even hit the mitzvah.
No, but he says why? He says because it's not vanveyu. You need a mitzvah muhuderis. You need a beautiful mitzvah. So, I mean, tell me it's possible because it doesn't fit. Again, lulav is a complicated because there's a concept of besides for hiddur, there's also noah. The Torah describes that it's supposed to be something nice. But it sounds like a simple reading of this Rashi is that it's not, you didn't hit hiddur mitzvah. But is there something under that? Why can I get the baseline
right.
fulfillment?
Why does Rashi have to come on to that? Just say that it's right at lulav is not a lulav.
Right. It sounds like from Rashi that's not the pshat. It's avada, it could meet the criteria because the criteria is our X and Y, but we want you to go above that and you didn't. Why do I have to go above that? That's optional. That's a mitzvah. Zokta b'chai, it's not a mitzvah. It's the taich of the mitzvah of lulav. And mela, that's why it's possible. So this is one gemara. Then there's another gemara in Shas, which we might have covered once when we were still doing Gittin. If anyone remembers, we took a vacation and went to Daf Chaf. We did a Suri Hano, we did some Gishmak and Sugis and Gittin Daf Chaf. So the Gemara said this, number 5, Omer of Chizda. Get shekatz v'shaloi l'shma. If let's say you have a get that was written shaloi l'shma, one of the rules of a get, it has to be written for the sake of the man and the woman. You have to be writing, thinking these people when you're writing the get. The hever of kulmas l'shma. So what happens? The sefer wrote it shaloi l'shma. So he rewrites it. He goes over it again with the pen, and he has the right intention. So the Gemara says, "Bonu machoikus abhu de v'rabbanim." The status of that get is totally machoikus abhu de v'rabbanim. The Tanya looked at the Brisa, "Hareisha hoytzerach luchta v'sashem." Let's say you need to write Shem Hashem, Yud K, Vav K. You have to write that in the Sefer Torah. V'nischav and luchta of Yehuda, but you weren't thinking of writing Yud K, Vav K. Thank you. You were thinking of writing Yehuda, but what happened? Ta, you made a mistake. V'lahit abal dalid. This guy's on a roll this morning, right? He was supposed to be writing Shem Hashem and be mechav v'Shem Hashem. Instead, he decided to write Yehuda, but he never got the dollar down. So he ended up with Yud Kei Vav Kei, but he wasn't mechavin for Shem Hashem. So the Gemara says, Mavrol of Kumas Mekachet, no problem. Just put the pen back over all the letters and inject the kavon and you're good to go. Divrei Rebbe Yehuda. No, Chom said this shame is not acceptable because it wasn't written with kavon. So the Gemara thinks the same machloikas you have by Sefer Torah, you should have by a get. So if I hold that I could redo a Sefer Torah, I could redo a get. So the Gemara says no. Amr v'achav Yaakov d'molohi ad kan lekami rabbanon hasam. When did the rabbanon over there passel it? Why? The be'inon zek keli vanveil. They passel it because it's not hider. Avul hachaloi, but by a get there's no din hider. Frekt Reb Chaim, frekt Reb Salvechik. What do you mean? Zek keli vanveil is going to passel a Sefer Torah? You're telling me now that because of hider mitzvah the Sefer Torah is rendered passel? How? The same kasha that Reb Chaim had when it came to Sukkah.
This is not hider in the chesah. It's hider in the
gavra. It's even a higher level hider.
Maybe it's different types.
Oh, good. So again, this is another gemara that the Salvagic dynasty points out to, that this gemara seems to be saying that hider mitzvah can actually render a mitzvah possible to yevet, not usable. The question is why. So if you look over here in Rishim Ashurim, this is on in the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah. Salvagic points out the following ha'ara. He says like this, Mochach mizeh. You see from this sugya, ki lepa'am v'chasara noi, possible d'yevet. You see from this gemara, he quotes both gemaras, the gemara in Gittin and the gemara in Sukkah, that sometimes the lack of noi can actually render the thing possible d'yevet. Which to us seems to be a massive chiddush. Especially we've been learning the sugya, we would assume not like that. Even though by meal it's like that, but nowhere else we would have assumed it's like that. How does noi, or the lack of noi, the lack of hiddah make it possible?
He said that it's l'chatila, it's possible.
Where?
By Yavesh and...
No. Rashi holds possible b'di'evet. You can't... Possible even b'di'evet. No, even b'di'evet.
Yeah, well, I meant that it's totally possible.
Yeah, completely unacceptable. So Reb Chaim, Frekta by Salvation, what do you mean possible b'di'evet? Hiddah mitzvah is what we call extra credit. How can you not be yoytze b'di'evet because you didn't do hiddah mitzvah? Hiddah mitzvah is only an extra credit. So says Rabbi Salvechik, "V'nirli shemizem mochach kiyesh shnei halachis b'din v'anvei v'znoi mitzvah." There we go. Continuing the Salvechik lomdus, there's two dinim. Kind of Chaim already brought this out to us, but Rabbi Salvechik takes it even deeper. There's two dinim in hiddur mitzvah. So again, we mentioned already last time from Reb Chaim the two types of hiddur mitzvahs. One hiddur mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah, like mila and lulav, and one hiddur mitzvah is what we call David study. You're supposed to do the mitzvah X and Y rules, and then if you go beyond the call of duty, you get a check for hiddur mitzvah. Says Rabbi Salvechik, Halach Aleph, what's the first din? Halacha shal noi she'enu mesuyim. It's not clear cut. It's not perfect. Kigoy. Koyma, yeshchi bechlal las nois lefana b'mitzvahs. For las nois mitzvahs, boi f'muhudr. There's no clear cut rules of how to do this. Just make it beautiful. How? What? Whatever beautiful is. So we saw Rashi and Baba Kama defined beautiful by what sells for more money. That's right, and Sifatera are both selling. Whatever sells for more money is usually defined as nice. Omnom.
I have a question on that. Yeah. So, if someone has a lot of money, someone doesn't have a lot of money, but they both spend the extra money, right? Are they both equally mahuder? Even though one physically may be nicer than the other one, but if we're judging it in terms of the money that you're spending...
Right, the Gemara said you're not allowed, you shouldn't spend more than a third for hiddur mitzvah.
Right, so if the poor person spends a third, up to a third, but the esrog that he's able to buy with is not as...
So for him, that's his.
That's
right.
That's just mahudr as the
that's
other
correct.
Guy's mahudr.
Correct.
But didn't we say a third's in the price of the esrog, not a third of his own value?
Again, the third is going to be in the price of the esrog compared to how much money you have. I mean, if you don't have enough money to go the extra third, so you don't have to go either. You can only go as much as you have.
But if you're going, it's how much money you able
that's
to
right.
spend.
That's right. It shows your reflectiveness of how much money you're spending for our Kodesh Baruch.
So that's in the Gavra. That's not in the Chefza. Because
okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit later today. If it's and the guy with the chavtza, hiddur mitzvah.
Shouldn't that, in that case, it's on both, really?
Well, yeah, it's my reflective of buying a nice, again, assuming it's nicer because it's more money. That's what makes it nicer.
Right.
So then, if I'm spending
more
money.
$15 over $5
that's right.
is not as nice
usually
as
$100 nice,
over.
Even though you should know, when I went this year, Sukkis, you know, these guys still love him and swag him on the streets, right? So I went to buy a chinuch set for my son. My son was 6, my wife told me you have to buy him his chinuch set. Okay. That's really machlokes achrani, but I wasn't going to fight with him about it. Fine, good. That's a shayla. That's a question. Depends how you learn. It's a beralacha. It's a question how I learn a beralacha. I wasn't going to fight with him. Fine. So I went from stand to stand. I figured, you know what? They call these, you know, these guys selling this, right? Don't know an esrog from a lemon. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't ever trust anything these guys tell you. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't even know where Masechta Sukkah is. This is beautiful. It's gorgeous. You know what they're talking about. So I decided I'm going to go find one. I taka found a mehuder, kosher, beautiful, lechatila, cheap set. It was tucked away amongst the other ones.
Bottom line, you took it for yourself.
I already bought one for myself. I took it for my son. It was kosher, but the chalat is. It was fine. Because again, just because it's not necessarily marked up doesn't mean it's not beautiful. Sometimes it can be, you know, it finds its way into the mix of things that are, again, it was very cheap. But it wasn't reflective of how nice it was. It was taka mohoda dekasra. But normally, you're right, when you go to a moicher asra game, it usually has, the nicer ones are usually more expensive. That's usually the way it's going to work. It's usually a reflection of the status of the asra. So it says by salvation, the first type of hiddur mitzvah is, now if you really can live on the edge, I would tell you to do that every single year sukkahs. If you can live on the edge and go like Erev Sukkahs down to these guys and see what's left, and you know, again, you have to know enough to know what you're looking at. An hour before you can pick yourself up some nice stuff. But it's risky. It's very risky. It's risky. You got to be very. You have to be able to stomach it. You got to be able to stomach it because again, a lot of the stuff is
precise. That should be your backup.
Right? I know somebody did it for a backup. A guy traveled away for Yom Tov. He left his didn't take an esrog.
The truth is, you have to know.
Most of it's not possible.
But, hey,
Most of them are kosher. It's not mahudr, but most of it's probably kosher. Most of it. Most of it. But again, if you know what you're looking at, you can really pull off a big mitzvah. If you know enough about, and usually those types of guys are not looking to, they usually go out to spend the money also. But
those are the guys collecting stock in all over the real estate.
If you can do it, then it might be worth it. Okay, so that's din number one. He writes, Avol, omnam din zeh hu behid a mitzvah noish eini kotzev mesuyim. It's not clear how do you go about doing it. Yesh lahader, Avol b'liyo hidur hachev te eini bal mum. If I don't go beyond it, there's nothing wrong with the actual object. Ve'ina mufka minoy ve'ina pasul. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just make it beautiful. How? What? You figure it out. Or however you're going to do it. So there's no clear-cut rules and definition. That's right. So if there's no clear-cut rules, just spend more money. So then, Zakti Rabbi Salavechi, that doesn't make the Chavtza not possible. Does not make the Chavtza possible if I don't make it more beautiful. Which makes a lot of sense. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me clear-cut definition of how the Chavtza should look. So then, if he wants me to make it look a certain way, then he would tell me that the more you make it look beautiful, the nicer it is. Mimela, if you don't do that, I can hear why it's possible. But if you don't tell me how to do it, it means you don't really care that much about the actual structure of the chavtza. You just want me to spend extra money because that shows I'm reflecting my love for you, so then it doesn't pass a little bit the evid. It makes sense from a logical standpoint. But well, let's see. He says, then chiv noy hu rak lechatchila. Sheesh las noy slafana b'mitzvah b'sefer Torah no. Does it say how to make a sefer Torah nicer? No. Nicer. Make it nicer. Talus not, tzitzis not, beram. Ein kam sol, ki achevtze ene balmum. Yesh choyvo lhisnoyes. Ach hanoi ene kotzevu mesuim. Hachevitz no, yoyse mechevitz ache. Again, think about this. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell you how to buy a nicer talus, so what's he really telling you? That avada, each talus is okay, and they're both acceptable. Both are considered a chevtze of a talus. They both have the status, what makes it a chevtze shal mitzvah. But I want you to make it nicer. You can't tell me one lacks and one is missing. It's always going to be nicer than something else. That's sad number one. Second one is chisara noy gomer. Says Rabbi Salavechi, the second type is where it's missing in the essence of what it is. It's not even a chefter shal mitzvah. This type of noy, that taka renders it unacceptable, even b'di'evit. Which type? Yovish. L'rashi hofaches alulov l'balmum neishu mufkal minoy. Says Rabbi Salavechi, when you take something that's so gross and ugly, it's so the opposite of beautiful, it's no longer even a lulav. Its lack of beauty makes it now that's missing in the makeup of what it means to be a lulav.
That's
not a lack and hinder. Let's see. Ulefichach, lulav yavish pasul. If the letters are all written without the proper intention, all you do is affix it with going on over a pen. Yeshav kois noi, v'yeshchalois sheimum minumer. Hapoisel gam diev. He says when something is so far removed from being beautiful, then it's the object itself is lacking in its status. Again, even though before we had the din of noi, this was a kasher of lulav esrig. But since now it's not beautiful, and the object itself is lacking in its beauty, it's mistaver now that such a lack makes it now no longer a chefza of a lulav. A lulav has to look a certain way. Hidur mitzvah dictates how a lulav should look. Hidur mitzvah dictates how a sefer Torah should look. Therefore, when you have clear-cut rules of how it should look, it could possible if it doesn't have that. But if the Torah never gave me rules how it should look, so then the assumption is, it doesn't matter how it looks. It just means go beyond the call of duty. Then if I don't go beyond the call of duty, it doesn't render it possible, but they have it.
So he's going beyond the din of Lola being a local din.
That's right. According to my salvation, it's whenever you can figure out, or you were given the details of how to make it more mahudr, that's a tip to figure out what type of hidden mitzvah it is.
Why wouldn't it be presented, so it's presented, in effect, it's the mitzvah?
Right.
Yes, but the way you know that is if there was clear-cut rules of how to make it hiddur. That's the giveaway to know which side of Reb Chaim is it.
So this second type of hiddur is not really, it's not a hiddur in like going above.
That's right, that's correct.
It's a hiddur that this is what the Torah says.
That's right, that's right. This is now baseline. Right. According to my salvation, it comes out this lumnus now, hiddur becomes what you need to do, not the extra credit. Hiddur is now baseline chiyuv. Which is a whole different way of understanding the mitzvah.
No, that's which it applies.
So, according,
right,
that's right.
What's a bris supposed to look like?
No, so by bris we have a Chaim's raya from the Gemara, right? By a bris, they told you go back for the tzitzis sheinam akvin. So there you.
It's not because they're not supposed to be.
That's right. So there you know that it's part and parcel.
Even though they're not makir.
That's right.
Well, that explains why it can be
mechal Shabbos, right? So said Rabbi Soloveitchik, that's Pshat Machlokes in the Gemara in Gittin. Rabbi Yehuda v'Chacham Cholkim in Mum Zechal b'Shem Achas Oydavka b'Avoros Kol Mosak Kol Askaris Midach Gisa. Then Agad Alulav. Okay, now we're going to get complicated over here. Let's go back to Agudas Alulav. We mentioned this last week. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, the Chatchilo, you should not allow a goy to tie the lulav together. Says the Magen Avram, why? Because the goy is not mitzvah the mitzvah. Effect the Magen Avram, Igud lulav is only Zek Keli Vanveu. So if it's only Zek Keli Vanveu, why should it matter who does it? So we mentioned it because. Our salvation points this out. You see from there that igud alulav is a chelik. It's a chelik of the mitzvah. So is it that much part of the mitzvah that it makes the mitzvah possible to have it? It doesn't. If someone who's not a bar chiyuva were to do it, would the lulav become possible to
have
it?
Yeah, you have a katan doing
it. So he says it wouldn't. I but meidach gisa din agud alulav ainu nichal benoy hamakib b'diavid el benoy harishon benoy she'ainu katzav hadoros lechatchila b'chol mitzvahs. Says our salvation. If you want to know where agud falls into. That falls into the first category of noy mitzvah. The general. It's nicer when you bind things together. Figure out how you do it. Who does it?
Because
it's
the same
thing.
We don't
paskin
like Rabbi
Yehuda.
About what?
About Egan. It's not required.
That's right. But the question is, we do it, I'll say the mitzvah. So the question is, what type of hidden mitzvah is it? So Rabbi Soloveitchik says it's the hidden mitzvah the first time. No, the first time. That's why it's not possible the other.
So according to him, that's why you can have a guy put up this sukkah also, no?
Right, because that's not part of the mitzvah.
Right.
Doesn't affect the actual chefts of the lulav, but you don't have the agat, so I still have dalaminim. Again,
what do you bind it with? So
all that
you can bind it with
has
to be min.
That's correct. But he's still understanding. Again, I think we kind of went the other extreme last week. We kind of made it sound like that last week that it's taka part and parcel of the mitzvah. Here Rabbi Soloveitchik is saying there's a middle madrega. It could be part and parcel of the mitzvah, but not enough to make it a psal nechetza. Okay, this is heavy stuff over here.
You can only work backwards, though.
That's correct. That's what we're doing. We're all working backwards. Based on the way Chazal or the Rishayim gave it to us, we have to figure out what it is. 100%. We're all working backwards. They say over with the Rogachava. The Rogachava was a big goin. He was a big goin, but he didn't care much for politics. So they used to send him letters to try to get him started about politics. They once said him, what does he think about the Aguda? So he wrote back tons of pages about Agudas, about the Sugya of Agar Alulov. He wasn't hacking about politics, the Aguda, he didn't care. He gave him the Sugya of Agudas. He wrote back the din of Loisas Agudas, he wrote back. Then he wrote back the din of Lulav Sarach Ega, he wrote about that. And the guys probably weren't very happy with what they got back. They wanted to hear something, he's against the Aguda, he's pro the Aguda. He didn't get that back from the Rogachev. He wrote back the sukkah of Lulav Shmaget. Okay, that was a... So again, Rabbi Soloveitchik is telling us a lot of heavy-duty lumdus over here, where there's basically, coming out from this, there's really three dinim in Hidda Mitzvah. There's Hidda Mitzvah, part and parcel of the Mitzvah. There's Hidda Mitzvah, that's a David study. And there's Hidda Mitzvah, which is part and parcel, but not enough to make it possible to have it. That's the what comes out. So you have to figure out which Mitzvah fits which type of Hidda Mitzvah every single time. That's the what comes out. Okay.
What was the middle way with the study again?
That means the hidden mitzvah is not a din of the cheft, it's not a din of the mitzvah itself. It's a separate mitzvah. You do the mitzvah, good, and then if you do the mitzvah, beautiful, that's enough, you get an extra check for a hidden mitzvah.
And the third way what?
Third way is part and parcel of the mitzvah, but it's not enough to make the cheft possible with the evidence.
That's real.
That's eged, according to Rabbi Soloveitchik.
And Mila. What's would be Mila? The first way?
Mila is part and parcel.
Yeah.
It's part and parcel, which is why you're allowed to be Machal the Shabbos.
Right.
But it doesn't make the meal possible to have it if you don't go back for the tzitzin. The meal is not possible if you don't go back for the tzitzin shein makfi. So you got to really have to sit down and figure out each time how to be magdir which mitzvah.
Just call you.
Or I'm going to just you can try. Okay, so let's move on to another interesting shiloh. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. The Dvar of Rome quoted a comment about if you look at the list, what's missing from the list? Tefillin. You don't have to have nice tefillin. Everyone knows you have to have nice tefillin. You go to the sofer, you tell me you want to buy tefillin right away, he's selling you the nice tefillin.
You mean the list from the Gemara?
List from the Gemara.
Well, this could have another dozen mitzvahs.
Such as?
Matzah.
Is it didn't hit the mitzvah matzah?
I don't know, maybe why not? Shmura?
Is mezuzah here? Mezuzah?
Mezuzah's not here either. Good. So we're going to go.
No meaning of having nicer matzahs?
What does it mean, nicer matzahs? Looks nicer?
Hey, it looks nicer. More expensive.
Again, we got to figure out, is everything nicer just because you pay more money for it?
What?
We got to figure out, is everything nicer just because you spend more money for it?
That's what the guy who's selling matzahs is trying to tell you.
I know that's what he's telling you. Rashi said, buy Sefer Torah. Okay, so let's try to figure out. Maybe Stam is included. So the Binyan Shlomo was Reb Shlomo from Vilna. Rabbi Shecht always likes to say he has the two brothers. There's the Binyan Shlomo, Reb Shlomo from Vilna, and he had all the brother Betzalel. So he always says Reb Tzal was a super genius, Reb Shlomo Vilna was a regular genius. I think they were both geniuses if you ask me, it doesn't make a difference. So Reb Shlomo Vilna, what he's known for besides for Sefer Binyan Shlomo, was he wrote the Vilna Shas. We all today have the Vilna Shas, almost all of us learned Vilna Shas. He basically rewrote the Vilna Shas by memory. He had no Svarim, no manuscripts.
He was just a regular genius.
He was a regular genius. He wasn't a super genius like his brother. That's why, to me, it's like a...
The other one wrote the Yushar.
Right, to me, these things don't make a difference between super genius. He was a genius. He wrote it by heart, they say. They say when he was 13 years old, the doctors told him, you have to stop learning because it's going to kill you. The strain of your brain, and he told him, fly a kite. He continued learning, and he did fine with himself. He became a big... He didn't live so long ago. He died in the early 1900s. We're not talking about this so long ago. That's pretty...
Before the early 1900s, there wasn't Shas Vilna?
The Vilna Shas didn't come out till the late 1800s. The Rashash helped print it, the Rashash helped pay for it, but the Binyan Shlomo wrote it all by heart. That's what they say it of. He wrote it by heart. He remembers seeing the Tfosim and he wrote it all by heart. He changed things here and there. But the Vilna Shas that we have today, we can attribute it to Shlomo from Vilna, the Binyan Shlomo. So in that sefer, Binyan Shlomo, he was a dayan, he was a big poisek. So he writes like this, number six, V'ochein, b'maydaloi toni tfilinoyim, why doesn't it say tfilinoyim? Now the truth is, if you look in Yushalmi in... Peah. The Yushalmi and Peah, Taka writes, Tfilinah. Taka writes it there. But it's not in the Bavli. The Yushalmi has it, the Bavli doesn't have Tfilin. Our list doesn't have Tfilin. But if you look in the Yushalmi Taka has Tfilin. So, Frek de Binyan Shlomo, why doesn't our Gemara have Tfilin? So he writes, nearly Pasha, the Hach Mitzvah, the Tzorech last noise, any Elba Mokoim, the Nira Lirabim. Big Yisoid. Good, we're going to get to that. So, Frek says with Binyan Shlomo, it's only with something that people see. Who covered like Kodesh Baruch Hu?
So how about Mila?
Oh, that's what I was getting to. That's why I brought in this Binyan Shlomo. Okay, but K'moy Daminu Biyuma, the Miad Kolecha Veichad Maybe Save a Torah Mitech. Basically, the Haris Chazus LeRab. Upeish Rashi, Mishem Damer Maris, and all the fun of the mitzvahs. V'zeh Loi Shayach B'Tfilon Shayad. Tichsev V'Hoy L'Chol La'Ois V'Loi La'Chem Lois. So therefore, says the Binyan Shlomo, no one sees your Tfilon Shayad. Tfilon Shayad is supposed to be covered. We spoke about this in the Tfilon Shir that we did Tuesday night, about how much does that be covered, when do you cover it, a whole discussion. But nonetheless, the Tfilon Shayad is generally covered. So therefore, says Ibn Shlomo Vilna, there's no din hidden mitzvah on the Tfilon. Avol Adayin Kasha! Effective Binyan Shlomo, but I still have a Kasha. Delomo Loi Niska, the Tfilon Shayroish, Tzarech Shiyano. That's all nice for the Tfilon Shayad. What about your Tfilon Shayroish? Okay, so he has all truth about that. What I wanted was this piece over here. What does he say? There's no din hidden mitzvah if you don't see it. So what's the obvious kasha? What have we been learning for the last month? Heder mitzvah of a mila. Who exactly is seeing the baby's mila?
That's why I have to go to the mikveh every day.
Okay, maybe.
So maybe found, with tzitzis, it's a ride that you have to wear your tzitzis out.
Maybe. If it's tzitzis, not right.
It's only b'shas mila.
But what?
B'shas mila, maybe.
So who sees the b'shas mila? The mother, the father? The people that are not squirmish? I mean, everyone
who
can...
Who sees the same Torah? Only people that are looking at it.
Yeah, the Kairim and those. Yeah. I mean, like, you do Hagba. Everyone's supposed to see it. That's the way it's recorded. You're supposed to see it. Masechta Seifim says. So mezuzah, that's what they talk about mezuzah. So it used to be back then, our mezuzahs are taka, you don't see anything. It used to be their mezuzahs were a little bit more open. But that might be the answer for mezuzah also. We don't see our mezuzah. It's tucked away. You can't see what's going on back there. You don't even know if there's newspaper in there. You hope there's not, right? You assume the Seifim put it in cloth. You don't really know until you take it off and check it. But that's another thing that's not seen. But one second. If this is... I found later, it's a Taisus of Menachos that also says this idea. That hidden mitzvah is only for those mitzvahs that can be seen by people. So one second. So what have we been learning about Mila? Mila is hidden mitzvah? What? Who sees the Mila? So I found in a Sefer, Or Yisrael. These are one of these contrasim that are printed. Or Yisrael. He writes like this. Benir in his diet, if you mashikas of a Rambam. He said, let's use this to explain the Rambam. We mentioned the Rambam Shita. The Rambam holds you don't go back for Tzitzishay in a Ma'akvin even on a Tuesday. And we tried to figure out why. So he says, I'll tell you why. The af b'chol eichai is not to the shein ma'akvin. I b'huk shalav mishabes kuflam gimel. The chayz u mishum van veyu. I the gemara sounds like you should go back because of van veyu. V'tiris ha'mafarshim. The Rambam mayir b'milas geirim v'avodim. The Rambam's talking about, this is a pell to say this. That when the Rambam says you don't go back for hidden mitzvah, he's talking about when you're going to give a mila to a ger. He's an adult. The b'gdailim havi erva. For an adult, no one's going to see his bris mila because it's an erva. U'lechein mechusa. U'bedovish mechusa le'shayach van veyu. There's no din vaveh on something which is covered. Masha'enke, the Gemara in Shabbos was talking about Be'erva's cotton, the baby, the dark and the glusa. That's normal to be seen. You change his diaper, you give him a bath, whatever. So therefore, zokt him, that's the answer for the Rambam. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but who is the
people.
For the people or for yourself? So for example,
no. He's saying no. That's his chiddush. That's his shleimah Vilna's chiddush.
The Rambam didn't say that.
The Rambam didn't say anything. The Rambam didn't say such a distinction.
Right. I mean,
that's why it's a shtickle tutter.
I think
it's
very sure. By Neros Chanukah,
people see it.
If you're alone, you're still...
Because you see it.
That's my point. Persuminis, it could be something that's just for you.
Persuminis and hidermits might be two different things.
Well, but if we're saying the hidermits only applies to things that...
No, that's hidermits, not persuminis.
But it's only for the people
to
see.
That's so right, but according to what David said, right.
The mitzvah.
You should only light one candle on the third night or the fourth night.
No, one second. Once. We mentioned this from the Biskarov. Hidr mitzvah and persuminis are two separate dinim. Not the same thing.
No, but didn't we say hidr mitzvah is each person lights one?
No, according to Reb Chaim, that's not hidr mitzvah. That's a different type of hidr mitzvah. According to the Biskarov, I'm sorry. The hidr mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is not the typical hidr mitzvah. We mentioned this last week from Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says they're the same. We mentioned that the Biskarov would say it's not the same. The hidr mitzvah of Chanukah is always more than a shlish. So it can't be regular hidden mitzvah. It's built into the Tekunas Chazal of Ner Chanukah.
Where's the logic in saying that somebody has to see it? It goes against the whole thrust of the pasuk. Zekeli.
That means we will make it beautiful. So they'll 100%. So what? If no one sees it, I guess. Okay. This is the chiddush of Shlaim of Vilna. That's why he was a genius. I don't know. He figured this out. I don't know. It's really a taisis of menachas. I don't mean to. It's really a chiddush. But if you say it like this, it's very geschmack. Itaka asked the kasha about what he did with Mila. Now, if you remember,
vehu plural. So Zekeli is.
He's arguing right, and we will means we will beautify him. It means we will do it.
That's
the Jewish
the
people.
Point. So it's we. If it's something that people see, how you know you have to.
We can still do it in private. Also, we means we will do it in private. It's my God, but we will beautify Him even in private. Technically, that's the argument. Okay, I thought this was just a nice shtickle Torah because I wanted to bring in the Binyan Shlomo because we're going to get to the Binyan Shlomo hopefully a little bit more. He has another nice shtickle Torah, but we mentioned last time that the Gemara is hard to read. The Gemara talks about a kol masnah. You have to have a nice pen. So we mentioned, Rav Asher Weiss points out, what's a nice pen about? A nice pen means it writes better, or a nice pen means it looks nice? What's the mile of a nice looking pen when you write a Sefer Torah? So the truth is, if you look at number 8, Rashi in Yuma, Daf Ayin, quotes the same Gemara, but with a subtle change, very subtle change. So that's Rashi. Laharois no shall say vitar vitferes balea shatarach lesnois bemitzvah shenema zakeivan vehu snal lefan bemitzvahs lulav no say vitar no beklaf no. B'diyoy na baal b'lo uman. Subtle change. What was the change? No kulmus na. Klaf na. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That's gewaldic. He changes it. Rashi takes out the word kulmus and puts in klaf. That's beautiful. You don't need a nice pen. You need a nice klaf. So this will be very geschmack. This Rashi in Meseches Yuma. If you look on the next page, the Binyan Shloima, if Shloima Vilma.
What's he doing? Does the girsa change? Or?
Yeah. It must be a different gearsome. Must be a gearsome. Yeah.
Can we do it again? From the Lama, and I thought it was Kormos, and then
like we did in last week's parasha. We mentioned from the Torah Tamima in last week's parasha. Rashi says, what were the mitzvahs given back Klai Yisrael by Mara? So Rashi says, Paraduma. So everyone struggles, why Paraduma? So Torah Tamima says, it was a printing mistake. It was supposed to be Kibra Ve'im, Chaf Aleph. The printer saw it as Pei Aleph. So he figured Pei Aleph must be Paraduma, so he put it in. Moral of the story is don't trust the printers. They don't know everything. Many things that we have in the Siddur we have.
Mitzapel Yeshua.
Mitzapel Yeshua. Everyone davens Nusach Svaras, so they say Mitzapel Yeshua. That's not correct. You're supposed to think Mitzapel Yeshua. That Rizal writes, it was instituted into davening, so you should think Mitzapel Yeshua. Somehow it made its way into saying it. Another thing you can blame the printers on is the... Which one? That's another controversial type to me, right? Which one should be Migdal or Magdal? There's another one that you blame the printers on, and when we duchen on Yom Tif, so we say we burnish Shloim twice, and then we say he rusted the third time. That's not found in the Gemara. That was a sefer written much later, and it had it to make its way in. The printer put its way in. The printer may have put that tefillah in. That's against the Gemara. You shouldn't say that.
But a Geshem and a Goshem, that's not a printer.
That's also a printer error, because the printers in America, that's not a printing error. No. The printers in the old Siddurim in America were printed by Germans. The Germans had a Messiah to say Goshem. So that's not a printing error. That's a Messiah, at least.
That's why Hart Scroll writes Nusach Ashkenaz.
Yeah, it's not really right to say. It's really Nusach Ashkenaz, meaning German. The German. It shouldn't be. This is not an Ashkenaz Sephard question. This is the Germans had a Messiah based on.
It is
a grammatical question. Well, straight 100% grammatical question. The problem is.
When you feel it continues on.
That's right. That's what it is. But the problem was one of the great original printers in Germany who wasn't so frum What was questionable from him was he came up with this chiddush that it's supposed to be Gashem, and that's what the Germans all followed, and because he was questionable, so everything becomes straight. We did this on a Tuesday night show. You can listen. We discussed it on. Rav Moshe does write Gashem. Rav Moshe writes when a tshuva is supposed to be Gashem. If you go to Yeshiva Farakwe, they're very machped over there. They say Gashem. They always say it out loud. It's like an emphasis.
Because they're coming from the Baron.
No, they hold based on Diddy. It should be right. I came from him. Who cares? He's not a, you know, not everything that bad guy wasn't so kosher brought out to the world. It's not so treif.
Even a broken clock is right.
That's right. He's happy. He has to be right. That's what Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva. Rabbi Yashiv write like that also. They say that Rabban Cutler held also Gashem, but Rabbi Yaakov writes, Rabbi Yaakov says not like that. Rabbi Yaakov says he remembers when he was in Slobodka, they all said Gashem. I don't know. I wasn't there, but Rabbi Yaakov says that he was a bigger, Rabbi Moshe was a bigger Pesach than him, but he was a bigger Baal Dikduk, and Rabbi Moshe is wrong. So Rabbi Yaakov said. And which is true, Rabbi Yaakov was an expert team. Baal Dikduk. Not that Rabbi Moshe wasn't Chas V'Shalom, but Rabbi Yaakov was known. One of his greatnesses was as well, besides what he knew Tanakh backwards and forward, he knew Dikduk, and he also knew a lot about Christianity. When his grandkids moved him from one apartment to another in Muncie, they found that he had hymns from the Christians. They said, Zayden, why do you have the hymns? He said, because when I used to live in Toronto, there was a local priest, and I used to have to keep up ties with him because, you know, I was the rabbi, he was the priest, so we used to share material. So he gave this to me, so. Chalitza Rabbi Yaakov still kept it. He could have thrown it out after he moved out of Toronto. He's out of Toronto 60 years already.
Now you know why his son was lost in Kamenetsky's book was banned.
That's a shot. Okay, in any case, that's a shot. So Zog the Binyan Shlomo number 9, he says like this. The Gemara says, so the Binyan Shlomo, Shlomo Vilna, has the same aura. It says in the Gemara, Kol Misna. And he's bothered. What's Kol Misna? He writes, V'achin. Gisus Rashi Iker. Says the Binyan Shlomo, he thinks Rashi in Yuma is the Iker. To ikar hamitzvah zu detzorch sheyira hayoyfi shal hamitzvah be'eshe kair b'seva teira. Is this chiddush of Rav Shlomo? This is against what we said. Rashi Baba Kama. Rav Shlomo Vilna says that the hiddur is you should see something nice when you read from the seva teira. Be'eshe kair b'seva teira. Va'oz my hakeir ikki kasa b'kol misnoi loy. Says Rav Shlomo Vilna, how can you tell from a nice pen? Ulechengir says Rashi nearly ikar. V'ochin, however, shuv matzasi m'secha seifrim peir gimel v'shuv huva lebeiz agir says kulmas no v'uklafna. So we've looked at m'secha seifrim; it has both kulmas no v'uklafna. Umiyo ikel lefarish the hard armor kulmas no v'tzalem shul kulmas yofa b'chdei shi'aksavna. How do you read those two things? You read a nice pen that produces it nicely on the cloth. Dachinami armor shem sham belavul bor no. What does it mean when you should have a nice seifer? It means the seifer should be a nice guy. What do you mean? What does it mean? A good safer?
It's all about the production.
It's all about the production.
That's right. So you're giving solid gold, but if it's got a bad
tip, exactly.
It's not
good. Exactly. It's going to write nicely. That's what it means. Taki, if you look over in the safer, Chodesh Av, he writes Mefurash. What's a kulmas? No. Pirish. Sheyeh mechutach yofa. It cuts nicely. Sheyeh tzo oisis yofa. The letters are produced nice. That's Pashup. Okay, so let's go back to another shtickle from Rav Shlomo Vilna today. Binyan Shlomo number 11. He says like this, Yesh l'sayver. He's bothered with another kasha. Ulohavin kavanas ha-braisa shekasa v'kasav boi l'shmoy. The Gemara says, by Sefer Torah, it says you should have, it should be written, v'kasav boi l'shmoy. What does that mean, it should be written l'shmoy? He says, ma'ika omar l'shmoy. The ein loymar da kavana the tzorech lichtav ha-Sefer Torah l'shmo. It doesn't mean that the Sefer Torah has to be written l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah. Why? The imkein l'shmo mi boi l'misni. It shouldn't have been l'shmoy for his sake. It should be written l'shma, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a grammatic issue over here. That's question number one. V'oid, the din the tzarech ksiva l'shma le'nilman mehach kro klal. Frank Rav Shlomo Vilna, this is not where we learn out you need to have a Sefer Torah l'shma from Zekei Levan Ve'u. We learn out the din that a Sefer Torah has to be written l'shma. Where? V'oid, it's a halacha mesh mesinei. V'yish kama deyas rishayim desfilei de'enei elma d'rabonon d'alma. It might only be the Rabbanan. Fine, hate it, b'shiltas parshas v'yakel, sefer b'lachas ha-kodesh, l'agoyin, revam p'laklish, fine. V'oid, the din zelo l'shmo lo yishayich l'misni hacha b'brayis ha-klad, d'mayim meinin zekei l'man ve'il. Third kasha. Even if, let's say, you'll tell me that this over here l'shmo means l'shem k'dusha sefer Torah, what does that have to do with zekei l'man ve'il? There's no shaykhas. We're talking about things that beautify the mitzvah. You'll tell me, oh, by the way, when you write a sefer Torah, you also have to write l'shmo. This is not hilchas sefer Torah. This is not the place for it. So says Rav Shlomo Vilna of Ulay Deratz Aloymer, the Milvad Tzarech Ksiva L'Shem Sefer Torah. He says there's a new din over here. Besides for the fact that you have to write a Sefer Torah L'Shma, Tzarech Nami Ksiva L'Shem Hashem, you have to have a Ksiva L'Shem Hashem. I'm doing this for HaKadosh Baruch. I mean, I'm writing it for Kedusha Sefer Torah, and then I'm doing this for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch.
So do you have to say this while you're writing it?
Think it, say it. I'm doing this for Hashem.
Well, who else am I doing it for?
No, I'm doing this, and I'm writing this book. to have kedusha sefer Torah. This should be kosher for kosher to be a kosher sefer Torah. Then the why? That's what I'm doing. Now this is the why I'm doing it. No, the first why is what I'm doing. Now the second is why I'm doing it or for whom I'm doing it. That's a simple reason. Ukimoy, what's his raya? Bekachim. Debina sheyishchat l'shem zevach u'l'shem Hashem. You got to do both. I know what I'm doing. I'm doing is I'm shechting a carbon. Why am I shechting a carbon? Because carbonus are creator rech nichayech l'Hashem. Two separate thought processes. Mishum dechsev ishe rech nichayech l'Hashem. V'hachanami. Mishum dechsev zek keilu avei yafira minei demashet tzorech l'esnois b'mitzel lo yichav mishvah hanos atzmoy. I shouldn't just be thinking that I'm writing a sefer Torah to have kedusha sefer Torah to be read in shul so I can put my kids through college.
Like a hiddur in
Kavana. It's a hiddur in how to do it. It's a hiddur in the writing. That the way you do that hiddur is in your mind.
So you come up with
and this hiddur doesn't look. Kavana. You don't see this hiddur. Exactly. You don't see this hiddur anywhere. Right? This would be against what he said earlier. You don't see this hiddur. I could tell what you were thinking.
Where's the source of
this? He's saying.
From the, he's interpreting.
He's getting it from the Gemara.
From the Gemara,
right? He's saying he gets this from the Gemara. It's like Gemara.
Plus, it's against his...
It's against initial his thought process.
Right.
So let's finish up. He writes, I shouldn't just think that it's for my pleasure. I'm doing this for Hashem. The first thing is what I'm doing. I have to know that... Well, that's a question of when you need mitzvah tzrichas kavana. If you need kavana to know, again, I have to know what I'm doing, then I have to know who am I doing it for. So he writes, "V'zed the omer hasnoy lefon v'mitzvah hainu di yischavin la'asoyis b'zed nachas ruach la'kodesh baruch hu." You have to be thinking that I'm doing this to make Hashem happy. V'nilmad, how do I learn now? Meshub dechsev zek keiv avei u'mash with the tzorich lasnoyis l'shem v'al zeh. I'm doing this l'shem Hashem. Zek keiv avei, you Hashem, I'm doing this for you. This is all for you. That's what it means when it says I'm reading it l'shma, not l'shma l'shem sefer Torah, l'shma for him. Unbelievable chiddush from Shlomo Vilna. I have no idea what the seifim do when they write.
Why don't play it all?
Maybe some mitzvahs you have to figure out. I'm doing this mitzvah when you take a little love. It's not just a beautiful. I'm doing this l'shem Hashem. Okay, Belina, the next week we'll talk more about this, and then we'll leave off next week to figure out, is it true the Rambam shita? If the Rambam really holds, there's a din called hiddur mitzvah.